Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Jim Simmons, and we're pleased to have you join us tonight. Tonight we continue in a series about feelings. You may have had a sad day or a happy day. However, whatever way you feel, know that God is involved in your feelings as well. But first, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you feeling this evening?
Well, feeling pretty good, actually. It's exciting that we can come together, study His Word, God's Word. Let's make that clear right off from the top. I think it's sometimes easy to, you know, as believers even, to get together and say, oh, we're going to study, we're going to spend time on worshiping God. Then we get together and we talk about politics, we talk about the weather, we talk about projects that are going on around the church or at our jobs. And the one thing we tend to forget is His Word. We almost have to make a hard right sometimes to get back on the course. Realize that as believers, we want to put God's Word first in our lives. And, you know, that's why we're dealing with some of these tough issues about feelings and the things we deal with. You know, when we look at our situations in life, we can fall into the trap of making comparisons. That's just plain dangerous. I mean, everybody has a unique history to their life. You bring something to the body of Christ that is extremely important. Your life, your set of histories, your set of skills and talents and compassion and love and mercy. You come in and start comparing yourself to everybody else's situation, and the last thing you'll be doing is feeling blessed of God. You'll start feeling like, said, oh, well, they had it better. They had it easier. They got more than I got. You know, what has that got to do with walking the life of faith? The reality is that God loves you so much He sent His Son to die for you. I've heard it said many times, and I thoroughly believe it, if you were the only one, Christ still would have come for you. If I were the only one, He had still come. We need to understand this comparison game just doesn't have merit. God blesses His children in His own way to develop us best. So don't forget that. Individually, God is doing something special in your life, and we need to tap into that and be blessed by it. You can be a blessing to the body of Christ, and you can experience healing, and you can move forward in the very grace of God if you just keep your eyes on Him and understand that we can mess up and make our own little mistakes that become painful because we get our eyes off the target. God is doing something in our lives. Let's nail down what that is by going to His Word and seeing what that might be and get a better feel for it. By the way, one of the things that we feel pretty good about, Jim, it is the fifth year of programming. We're just now starting our first broadcast in the fifth year of Ask the Pastor Now. How's that sound to you?
I can't believe it's been that long, Pastor. It seems like we just started.
I'm so glad to hear. I was afraid you were going to say it seems like it's been much, much longer. But no, it's... but no, we strive to move forward.
You can't believe... You just can't believe that we've been doing this every Thursday night for all these years. It's been such a blessing, and I've learned so much. And I know many of our listeners have just heard truth for the first time. And I thank you, Pastor, that you always... You never give us your opinion. You always take us back to the Bible. And there's no greater credibility. That's a bibliography anybody would be proud of.
Well, thank you. And, you know, one of the other things we've tried to do over the years and we're going to continue doing is to help you hear from some of the folks that are believers, just like you, just like me, but God has put them in various aspects of our lives. These are writers, directors, actors, actresses, people that have a faith that moves forward. And you know, we get the impression sometimes that, well, Christians are always a struggling group and they're not successful people. Well, they are successful Christians out there, and they are people who bless us in a variety of ways. So we're taking some little steps to let you meet some of these folks who can introduce you to some ideas and successes and, you know, just some information to realize that, you know, you don't have to watch bad movies. They're good movies. You don't have to read bad books. They're great books. And a lot of times the people behind those are godly people that you would like to know as your brother or sister in Christ, and they are. And so in just a couple of weeks, I believe it's on the 18th, we're going to have a special guest with us who can share some information that maybe you didn't know about. We'll give you all the details about that on the end of the program. That way you're even more motivated to stay through to the end. But something to look forward to that's going to happen on the 18th of this month. And by the way, according to Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there's a season, and to every time a purpose under heaven. Our purpose right now is to start the broadcast in the best way, the right way. I'm going to ask Brother Jim if he'd be kind enough to open us in prayer. Jim?
My privilege, Pastor. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts in reverence to you. We want to express our love and our adoration to you for uniquely creating us, for saving us, and, as you promised, providing for us. Father, we ask you to continue your hedge of protection around this nation. We especially thank you for Jesus, who paid our ransom with his blood. I pray, Lord, that you would superintend this program tonight and give Dr. Lyons the exact words you'd have him deliver. We pray further that this program will be a blessing and a comfort to those who hear it. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus, we make this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Just before we begin, let me remind you that if you would like to ask a question, you can email your question to ask@askthepastornow.com. That's ask@askthepastornow.com. Also, if you're listening from the archives, you can call and leave your question for us by dialing 1-866-275-4472 and choosing option 1. Now, let's begin our study as we continue with what to do when you feel dissatisfied, not satisfied or pleased, disconnected.
Discontented, actually, I think is the word you're looking for, Jim.
Yes, and disconnected, so, or discontented.
Yeah, maybe if you're disconnected, you would be very dissatisfied. We'll try to keep you on the air a little bit longer. How about that?
Our dyslexic.
No, Texas. Deep in the heart of Texas, not dyslexic. Okay.
I got you.
What to do when you feel dissatisfied? All right, we want an answer to that. We need an answer to that. You know, when we looked at the dictionary definition, that's what Jim was sharing with you. It's to be not satisfied or pleased. It means to be discontented. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that feeling of, I don't care what you do, it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem like enough. Now, I'm sure I'm the only person who has ever felt frustrated and thought, it doesn't matter what I do, it's never enough. Jim, you don't ever get that way, do you?
Just all the time. It just never seems to be enough, and there never seems to be enough time.
Oh, mercy. And yet the amazing thing, we're all given this, you know, chunk of time every day, 24 hours, and it's not enough to please some people, that's for sure. And sometimes it's not enough to even get done what we would like to get done. But the reality is God can use the moments. God is in the details. And the strongest lesson we're going to learn, as in every situation, is to turn back to God and see what God is going to do. You know, Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So if you're tempted to feel dissatisfied, one of the things you're probably feeling is like, I haven't got enough. And I guess really that sort of settled it in one statement. I ain't got enough. What it might lack in perfect grammar, it brings home to be truth. Because think of it. You know, it might be food. You might be that, like that young lion that's hungry. He wants something. He's roaring. He wants the world to know he's unhappy about it. Lord, those that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. not want for anything. You'll have it, okay? And we get dissatisfied when we feel like somebody else got more stuff than we got, or we didn't get enough food, or maybe we didn't get the food we were hungry for. You know, it may be the refrigerator had really great healthy food items sitting in there, but you were hungry for junk food. And nothing was going to satisfy it except junk food, even though the adult inside you knew that's not the right food.
Mm-hmm.
And you may think, well, that doesn't sound like a very spiritual issue. Well, guess what? The body's the temple of the Spirit of God. But if we don't take care of this body, how do we serve God with it? You know, that doesn't mean we're perfect. It means we've got flaws and we've got aches and pains, sure. But we don't want to be dissatisfied with our life, with our lot in life, with the opportunities God gives us, when He has given us opportunities to be a blessing. You say, well, I mean, look at the person who says, well, I have to ride the bus. I don't have a car. I have to ride the bus even just to get to work or go to the grocery store. Which means you're going to meet a group of people that maybe others won't meet, and you can be God's witness on that bus or at that bus stop. The thing that you see as a weakness is the very thing that's going to allow you to witness to some people you would drive past and not meet otherwise. And you say, well, yeah, that's fine. You can say you're driving a car. If the car breaks down and I'm at the auto repair place, I will get to meet some people I won't meet otherwise. We've got to have this attitude that is not always dissatisfied with what happens. We need to realize that God will not allow us to lack for any good thing. And if that's the case, then wherever we're at, with whatever we have, whatever resource we are endowed with, God can use that item if we're willing to be pleased with that item. You know, there's a young man at church that I'm always blessed by. I've related some of his events in the past, and he was actually involved in an injury when he was actually high school age on a bus. And what's interesting is that one of the things that he still carries from that incident is an incredibly short-term memory. And when I say incredibly short-term, if you're having a conversation with him that goes on for 3 minutes, the part back at the one-minute mark will be lost as you roll into the fourth minute. And so you can have a conversation with him and refer to something that you've already been talking about, and he's going to look at you sort of blank. He doesn't get it. So you could say, well, that's horrible. That's terrible. Not for him. He finds it an incredible blessing. You know, Jim, he told me one day that one of the things he had liked about his problem is that he cannot remember anybody ever saying anything to him mean or unkind.
Wow.
And he's quite literally honest about it, because he can't remember anybody saying something bad to him. Does it mean his life is perfect, that he doesn't have to have challenges, that maybe he does tasks and assignments that other people would think, well, I wouldn't do that? He does, and he feels good about it because he's giving back. He's touching lives. You know, that's even how he came to meet his wife. He kept going back to her and introducing himself for the very first time. He said, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever met. Will you please go out with me? And she said, no, go. Get away. You're too young for me. And he'd come back an hour later and say, oh, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever met, and go through the whole thing. She thought there was something wrong with that boy. And what it was is every time he met her, it was the first time, you know. So you imagine that, your first love, the first person you just fell in love with on first sight. And you get to have the experience over and over and over again.
Groundhog
all day long.
All over again.
That was it. By day two, she's fallen for him. See, the things that we think are not working, the things that we think, oh, how could God be in that? God is in that. You know, the person who's hurting, the person who's hungry, the person who says, I don't see anything happening that's positive, needs to go to the Word of God and find out that God is alive and at work in your life on a daily basis. Jim, why don't you take a look at Isaiah 44:3 and get a hold of, what does that say for our listeners?
For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Well, that's incredible, because he said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. It's not just give him a drink. He's going to pour water upon him, and floods upon the dry ground, not just a little trickle. and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. The seed is my offspring, and my blessing upon thy offspring. So it's, I think it's hard for us, and we have heard this, Pastor. People will call in to the prayer line, and they'll say, I want to pray for a job, and I want to pray for my finances, and they'll give us just the meager amount that they're after.
Mm-hmm.
And we turn it from that. We say, you know, Father, I'm not going to pray for Charles or Bob or whoever it is for a job. I want him to have a career. God is limitless. Why am I asking for a little? Because of desperation. And to imagine, right. I want God to decide what I want and need instead of me just saying, I need a drink. No, I'm going to pour water upon you and flood upon the ground. I'm going to give you plenty of irrigation. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. Just to imagine, the spirit is not just a little trickle. He's going to pour his spirit upon me. So I'm going to have abundance in anything God is a part of.
I love that. That's a wonderful way to look at it. We have a tendency to go for the meager, go for the smallest amount. You know, I actually had a correspondence with a pastor just recently that's outside our country, and he was outraged over the fact he'd heard some American pastors drawing a salary that he just thought that was ludicrous because he had never had a salary that large. Now, I think that we do strive to have something that's appropriate. I don't believe in, you know, people living this atrocious life when people are hurting. I understand all that. But, you know, I also understand that, first of all, he wasn't taking into the difference in the cost of living and things like that. But as I looked at the pastor that he used as an example of, I happened to know him. And one of the fascinating things to me was that particular pastor gives incredibly of his life and of his time and of, you know, his physical talents as well as financial talents. You know, if God chose to bless him financially, I wouldn't have a problem with that because I know what kind of a steward he is with his time and money and resources and lives he touches. You know, a man that was, for me, a Sunday school teacher I had years ago. I hate to realize I'm old enough to be able to say years ago and mean it. Anyway, but that's something to think about. Goodness. But
yeah.
I remember that his name was Jim, and I must have a good thing about Jims in my life. I don't know. But this particular Jim was a real gem of a person. He worked at a financial institution. They trusted him with a lot of resources. And the funny thing about this guy is the fact that I'm sure he did make good money. But, you know, he drove a VW. He picked up people off the side of the road that were hitchhiking and just looking in trouble and stuff like that. And he would spend time with total strangers sharing the gospel of Christ, helping them, encouraging them, turning their lives around. You know, I thought, that's amazing. Here's a guy that you would think he would not have time for people who were just hurting or time for others. But he did. He set that as his priority. I related a story to you once before, I think, that, you know, he carried his, you know, here he is in the business suit coming out of his professional life, carrying his briefcase. And I was amazed the first time I saw him open his briefcase, and what was inside were gospel tracts, an assortment for every situation, every life he could think of. You know, his priority in life was not the money. His priority was soul winning, passionate about leading people to Christ. And, you know, you could ask Jim almost any time, you know, when did you last get to share the gospel? And he'd tell you about something that happened maybe an hour ago. You see, God was pouring into this man's life not just the water to fill a thirst, not just the spirit and the healing, but what he was pouring into this man's life was the blessing of being able to touch lives because he was willing to touch lives. And I think what we will find is the more we're willing to take our lives and give them back to God, then he can pour out that blessing. And, you know, it doesn't have to be money. We want to live indoors. We want to have food on the table, and we'd like to get around. That's great. But you know what's even greater still is for God to know, I can trust you with that resource because you're going to use it to reach others for Christ. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. In other words, don't just trust him, but do something. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. God will provide your needs. He'll meet your needs. You don't have to panic or worry. It's not easy to see sometimes when you're wondering how I'm going to make that last payment. God can do amazing things. That does not give us license to be foolish in how we spend our money. You know, you should not look at your finances and say, well, you know, I'm satisfied with my finances because I still have a credit limit that I haven't reached. No, that's not satisfaction. That means there's something going on in your life. You should be focusing on staying within your income, letting God bless, do what you have to do to advance yourself if that's what you need to do. But be satisfied with living a life that honors God, staying within your income. You know, and I focus on finances for a little bit because I think people get in trouble there a lot of times and then turn around and blame God for their debt when they realize that they moved beyond what was reasonable. And sometimes the wisest thing we can do is wait. We're told in the Scripture, wait upon the Lord. Well, why can't we wait? If we're willing to wait on the Lord, which we need to do, why can't we wait before we make that next purchase? Credit gets people in trouble, folks. It has merit, but it also, you know, it can get you. It can turn around and bite you. We need to be careful. You're supposed to be a believer, then be satisfied with what God is doing in your life. Don't be dissatisfied saying, my blessings aren't enough. I deserve more. Guess what? You deserve the opportunities to serve God. I want those opportunities. I pray for those opportunities. But the other stuff are just the tools, nothing more. That's what blessings are. They're just the tools to help us reach others for Christ, to be a witness. And Paul went through times when he was thrown in prison, and we look at Paul and we say he was a great believer. He was greatly used of God. He spent a lot of time in prison. He spent a lot of time being beaten. He spent a lot of time having just enough to make it to the next city. So by today's prosperity standards, Paul was a dismal failure. But in the eyes of God and in the guise of history, Paul was a pretty special individual who put Christ first. In fact, Jim, in Philippians 4, 12 and 13, Paul is telling us something that's pretty important to hear. What is it?
I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Now, Jim, you realize a lot of people grab verse 13 and they camp out there and make it their entire ministry. And they're saying, I can do all things. In other words, God's going to give me everything on the planet, and I can take over the world with Philippians 4:13. Mm-hmm. They miss 4:12, where he says, I've learned to be abased, I mean brought low, and I know how to abound. And I know how to work both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. And based on that, I can do all things. In other words, what he's saying, it doesn't matter to me whether I've got every blessing you can imagine or fantasize about, or whether I am brought low, put into the prison, beaten, and I'm hungry tonight, I'm still going to do everything that Christ wants me to do because He's my strength, He's my blessing, He's my power. That's what the passage is saying. It's not a name it and claim it. It's a claim the fact that you can trust God. You don't have to be dissatisfied with your life. If Paul could go through what he went through and be confident that Christ was his redeemer, his supplier, his everything, then what's wrong with us that if we're not getting it just our way, then what's wrong? I think that's a question we should ask ourselves. Jim, what do you suggest? What would you tell a person who's frustrated that they don't have what others have?
Well, Pastor, I think the first thought comes to mind is, up until a time that someone gets into the Word and starts understanding our God and He's revealing His nature and He's revealing His laws and His absolutes, and you're finding reassurance that there are things, you know, we talked about it before about the evening news, for example. It's one catastrophe after another, and you come away depressed and you think, who's in control? This is so out of control. And yet, the more we know about God's nature, the more confidence I have that I can't trust what the world teaches. And that's one of the points I want to make, Pastor, is we are bombarded all day with commercials. If we're watching TV or if we're reading a newspaper or a magazine article, commercial, 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 and they're hedging it in a way that makes us feel like, boy, if I don't have that Porsche or that Tesla vehicle, I'm a failure. And if I don't have a big, fat 401k, I'm a loser. And if I don't live in that special part of town with those big houses. And I think, Pastor, that is the worst we can imagine, is just what they've sold us on all these years. So we have a very poor self-image, if you will. And God mm-hmm. teaches us just the opposite, that we're wealthy, that we are kingdom kids, that we are royalty. And so I think we have to get a grip on what the world teaches versus truth, what God teaches.
Oh, that is so very true. You know, Jeremiah 31:14 says, I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Now, let me clarify something pretty quick. Satiate, Hebrew word ravah, means to have one's fill, to drench abundantly. And so what God is saying with that word satiate, he says the very soul of the priests with fatness. In other words, the fatness, in fact, Leviticus 4:31, he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it on the altar for a sweet smell to the Lord. The priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. In other words, one of the things the priests of the Old Testament did was to make these offerings, the burning of the fat, as an offering that was showing that the people had repented and had drawn close to God, and it was a peace offering, that they had their life right with Christ and with God. And so you see what's going on there. For the priest, that fatness going to the altar to be burned is satisfaction for them. It gives them a joy and a happiness. And the people are going to be satisfied with the goodness that they have with the Lord. In other words, for believers, one of our great joys, one of our great peace, is to have a right relationship with Christ. And if you're wondering, well, what really makes a pastor happy? Well, they're sort of the modern-day priest, so what makes them happy is seeing that our lives as a body of believers is right with God, that we've drawn closer to Him, that we have put Him first in our lives. That's what's important, not the stuff, not the things. And if you're tempted to feel dissatisfied with the stuff, you're just barely on the tip of the iceberg of knowing what God can bless you with, because the stuff is not the blessing. The heart is the relationship. The spirit and the peace that you can have, that's the relationship. That's what's so important. And that is what can totally turn your life around and take you from dissatisfaction to great blessing, great encouragement, and a wonderful, wonderful nature in Christ. Now, our time is up for the first part of this lesson, but we ask that you would join us again next time as we continue our study of what to do when you feel dissatisfied.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome back to Ask the Pastor Now as we continue our study of what to do when you feel dissatisfied. I'm Jim Simmons and I hope you are as ready as I am to get back into God's Word. Dr. Lyons, let me start by asking you, shouldn't a person simply make the decision to not be dissatisfied?
Well, I mean, that seems like something you would tell somebody, and if you're not dissatisfied and you're all right, you would think that's not a problem. Just turn it around. But for some folks, it's more than just a matter of getting back on top. You know, it can be deep-rooted insecurity, a lack of self-esteem that causes people to feel undeserving of happiness. They don't even feel like if something good happened, they should be allowed to experience that. What happens sometimes is that this is, again, as with depression, with dissatisfaction, it can be something that's been going on for a long time. And as longer the time element comes into play, the more we feel like, I don't deserve anything better. And so you sort of give up is what it boils down to. You know, lifelong struggles with trauma or a bad experience, a negative experience, something very traumatic happens in your life, and you suddenly have this desire to think, well, if I just got to the status quo, that would be enough. And if I did get there, then you'd feel like I can't be happy because it's going to go away at some point. So we have to realize that it's not necessarily a matter of just saying, well, stop it, instantly turn around. What oftentimes happens for a person is they are overwhelmed with a sense of defeat. Decisions, experiences of their past, sometimes it's people that are consumed with guilt or regret, they just can't get over it. It's going to take more than that. You know, on the surface, people might not know anything that's wrong, but this dissatisfied person may keep working, keep going to school, looking after their family, but it's in a way disabling them because they're not feeling the full joy and peace that should be in their life. It's very frustrating. You know, Matthew Quick is a novelist, and he made an interesting statement. He said, I once read that succumbing to depression doesn't mean you're weak, but that you have been trying to be strong for just too long, which is maybe a form of denial. So much of life happens somewhere in between being okay and a complete breakdown. That's where many of us live, and doing so requires strength. You know, I think there's a person there that is going through a lot of hurt and has not really dealt with it. So what am I trying to say through all of this? I'm saying we don't just lackadaisically say, I'm going to stop feeling dissatisfied with life. I'm going to now immediately be happy. That's not really true. What happens is you need to be willing to start taking a fresh look at life. You need to start getting into the Word of God on a daily basis. If you're not doing that, you're hurting yourself because that's where a lot of your energy and cleansing and healing can come from. And as you go through that day by day, the process will start a healing process that's powerful. If it's a matter of saying one quick decision, the one quick decision part is, I want to get better. I want to have a life that where I will feel satisfied. And that's where you start making the change. Doesn't mean instantly. Doesn't mean instantly everything's okay. It does mean you've made a commitment to see the change take place. That's the only part of it that's instantaneous, the willingness to make it better. Now, Jim, you're a person that I know for a fact has a committed life of seeking God on a daily basis, getting into the Word on a consistent basis. You know, what kind of things helped you get to that point that could be a blessing for our listeners?
Well, Pastor, I cannot recall when it happened. I know it was several years ago, but I felt like I was moved to want to know the rest of the story, as we used to hear Harvey say. But I think it was a desire to know more because I felt like I had a pretty good understanding of I was saved, but then what do I do? And so I purposed in my heart, as I've heard the Bible quote, to start at the beginning, in that day. It was Genesis, and I wanted to read all the way through just to get the big picture. It seemed insurmountable. I didn't think I could do that. I'd never tried to read that much in such a complex setting. And so once I completed it, I thought, wow, that was pretty powerful. But then I started over. What drove me? I don't know. I think the Holy Spirit made it desirable for me. And I read the second time, and you've heard me say this. There were things in the Bible that weren't there the first time. He put new stuff in. And so
it does feel that way, doesn't it?
At that point, it does. And you just continually, every time I've read through the Bible, I cannot tell you how fresh and new and appropriate it was in my life at the time. That's why it's the living Word of God. You'll never exhaust it.
Well, that is great. We're going to take a quick little break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Jim to talk about something else that he shared with me today that I think you'll also find quite the blessing.
The best thing that ever happened to you in your life was accepting Jesus Christ. Now learn about the one who saved you and what being saved really means. Ask the Pastor has a great teaching series titled Jesus, Salvation, and Eternal Security. The series comes in a convenient binder with 6 compact discs for your personal study. We trust you will find these lessons a great blessing. You can gain a better understanding of Jesus' sacrifice, His resurrection, and the salvation, justification, and grace that is available. Order your set at www.askthepastornow.com. That's www.askthepastornow.com. Don't delay. Order your set today.
Jim, let me ask you, you mentioned today, as we were talking, that you first told me you had memorized the Bible. I was very astounded with that one. And then you went on to explain that what you were referring to is that you had memorized the names of the books of the Bible. And so you, on the first part, you'll be happy to know I'm not going to put you on the test to recite them real quick. But I'm going to ask you this. What is the advantage to memorizing the names of the books of the Bible?
Well, first of all, it was, I thought again, something I was incapable of. Just like I think I shared with you, I have favorite scriptures. There's 3 pages of them. And I read them every morning with my Bible study. And I can't tell you how many years, and then suddenly I realized I don't need the paper anymore. I had memorized my favorite scriptures. And if you interrupted me about halfway through it, I'd have to start over because I know it. Because I have to start over each time and go through it, or I can't just say, all right, pick up right in the middle. And so I thought, well, I have a pretty good idea of the New Testament, because back when we were in Royal Ambassadors, you know, we had to learn that song,
right?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and the Epistles of the Romans, and we had this song. Well, that part was not too difficult, but the Old Testament was quite a challenge, and I was really surprised how quickly I picked it up and was able to memorize it. So I would just encourage those who think you might be too old or you may not have that fresh mind that a young college student has. It's just not true. God helped me understand it, and so the significance is, I do, when you say, go to Zephaniah, I know where that is. Just like when we studied the book of James, I knew that that was way back close to the Revelation and just go left. So I think it helps you navigate when you're doing corporate worship also.
That's so true. I'm glad you mentioned the corporate worship aspect of it. Another element of, we're talking about tonight, dissatisfied, how people might deal with that. You know, sometimes they're dissatisfied with their own spiritual life. And I'll give the example that, you know, you can be sitting in church and you've enjoyed the music, you've gotten through the prayer time, you heard the announcements, and the pastor comes up to preach, and he says, I'd like to open the Bible tonight, and you almost cringe because you're afraid that he's going to pick a book that you can't find. Now, let me first of all say to everybody out there, if you've not visited a church and you're a little uncomfortable about things, or if you haven't come in a while, it's okay to open up to the front few pages of your Bible and find the book listing and locate the one you're after, okay? You know, don't feel embarrassed. I don't want anybody to not come to church because they're afraid they'll be embarrassed about something. Just don't worry about it. We don't want you to feel embarrassed. That's not our goal. We just like to get people to look at the same note so they can maybe look at it with greater clarity. Maybe if they have a question, they can get it focused better. That's the reason we give the reference. And one thing we want to do is let you know we're not making this stuff up. You know, we're being faithful to what's written there, and we want you to be able to follow along and know that really is the verse he said. That's why when we're doing this program, we always make a point of giving you the scripture reference of where it is. So if you're sitting there thinking, I never heard that verse, I think they made that one up. Well, you can look it up for yourself, you know, and see, no, it really is what it says. So God's word, powerful. Understand that. Dissatisfied is not a way you have to live. Dissatisfied, you have a choice. Don't let the enemy make you live a life feeling defeated, dissatisfied with what you have. Look, it took some effort for Jim to learn those books by name. But in doing it, he's not dissatisfied now when he wants to find a reference pretty quick. He can do it pretty quick. You know, he might be like me. I don't know. After all these years, I still mentally run down the list. There's only a few places that I jump to. I still have a tendency to start running down the list to get at the spot I want. And I'm a pastor. Right. I mean, you would think, okay, so a pastor shouldn't do that. Hey, we all have little things we struggle with. For me, it's memory. You know, and so whatever it might be for you, you know, you've got strengths that are a great encouragement to the body of Christ. Your weaknesses, it happens to be somebody else's strength. They can help you. So don't let it cause you to feel defeated. Do let it be a blessing in your sight. Joel 2:26. Some of you are thinking, Joel, do I know a fellow named Joel? Joel is the name of one of the prophets, wrote in the Old Testament. And 2:26 says, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Why would they be ashamed? Because they are feeling dissatisfied. And the first part of the verse says, you shall eat in plenty and you will be what? Satisfied. Say, understand that God has dealt wondrously with. If you're in America, you know, we're one of the richest countries on the planet, and we have an incredible debt load. So, you know, figure that one out by the world standards. Okay, we got this huge debt load, and we're the richest country. Listen, folks, our measurement of success and blessing and joy and peace and satisfaction should not be by what's going on in the world. It should be on what is God doing in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. And in this prophet, we're told we shall eat in plenty and we will be satisfied and we will praise the name of the Lord. You know, you might be eating in plenty and you may even be satisfied, but if you're not praising God, you can't expect to be satisfied in a true sense. There'll be an element in your heart and life that's not working right. So deal with that. Turn back to God and put Him first and trust Him. Not an easy thing if you're not in the habit of trusting. But believe me, God can be trusted. He's your creator. He knows you better than anybody else, and He still loves you. Be thankful for that fact. Be satisfied with the love of God in your life. Everything else after that is just icing on the cake. Start with His love, His grace, His mercy, and you've got something very powerful. Since we're throwing in little extra items tonight, by the way, Jim, like the books of the Bible and a daily quiet time, the power and the strength of that, what's the difference between a minor prophet and a major prophet?
Well, they're both just as important, but it has to do with the volume in the Bible. The book is a small book in pages or in Scripture, but it's vital. It's still important, yes. Or it wouldn't be in there.
Absolutely correct. I mean, I think what we ought to do one night is just spend an entire broadcast and dealing with questions that people have that they don't ask. Yeah, and think about that, because most people would never ask that question, but they probably wondered that question. Why do they call them a minor prophet? It only refers to the length of the book. That's all. You're right. Doesn't mean it's less scripture than any other part of the scripture or less powerful than any other part. No, quite the opposite. But maybe they were more concise. Maybe what they needed was a message that fit that moment, and it didn't have to be wordy. It could be right to the point. God doesn't waste words. He doesn't mince words. But understand that the passage was powerful, poignant, So if you hear somebody in church refer to a minor prophet, all they're referring to is the length of that book, which, by the way, will give you a clue sometimes as to where you might find it in the Bible. So that'll help you, too, when you're looking for one. You know, Psalm 103, 1 through 5, it's a long passage, so why don't we work through this? You know, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." We start off in this psalm with wanting to, you know, not only bless the Lord, but everything in me, let it bring glory to God's name. That's pretty important. And then we have these next couple of verses. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." If we forgot his benefits, I think we would be dissatisfied. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now tell me, Jim, is it possible to be reflecting on all the benefits of God, his healing, his, you know, forgiving, his redeeming, his loving kindness, and then be dissatisfied?
I don't think it is possible, Pastor. And I think, you know, when we recognize who we are, that we're royalty and that we are abundantly wealthy because we, you know, it's promised we will inherit the kingdom. I think that's short-sighted. It's like looking at the stock market. Today the stock market might be down, but then tomorrow it may be 300 up. So
right.
We got to keep our mind on the long, on our goal, and that's to be kingdom kids.
Right. And so if somebody's dealing with being dissatisfied, one of the first things you want to do is count your blessings. You know, that's, we're back to the old hymn again. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Number two verse here. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits." Really, make a list. I know it sounds so simple, but make a list of the way God has blessed you. And you're saying, "Oh, I don't have any blessings." That's because you haven't listed them out. It will amaze you. Start with the incredibly obvious thing. The fact that you're alive, you're breathing. Move on to you slept at some point in the past month. Because somebody out there is going to sit there, "Well, I didn't sleep last night." Well, okay, well, you slept sometime. You wouldn't be breathing right now. There are blessings that you have. You're somewhere. You're listening to this program, which means you have access to a computer. You realize there are people in the world that don't have access to a computer. You do. You wouldn't be listening to this otherwise. You have access, perhaps, to a smartphone. Most people in many parts of the world, this is new technology. This is something of a blessing. And at least they have the wisdom to recognize it's a blessing. We get ourselves defeated and dissatisfied when we're always thinking somebody else got something better. And it doesn't have to even be stuff. It doesn't have to be toys. It doesn't have to be adult big stuff toys like a car or a house or a boat or a plane. Sometimes it's just somebody getting more attention than you got. And you feel like you're dissatisfied. You know, it is far more important to be honoring God and to know that he's satisfied with your life than to be pleasing everybody else. Because there's some folks you'll never get to please. It's just not going to happen. They're the ones that can steal the clouds, you know, and for fear they'll see the sunshine. They want all the clouds gathered around them. It doesn't work like that. You can choose to have a life of peace and joy by simply, first of all, putting God first and trying to please him, honoring him with your life. And then you can know what it is to have real satisfaction. Psalm 107:9 said, "For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." So in other words, there's times when that deep inside part of you that makes you uniquely you, your soul, he's going to satisfy the longing that's there and give you peace. He's going to not have you spending your days always wanting something else because you're dissatisfied. If you're willing to receive him, if you're willing to trust him and to look for him, you will be amazed at the blessings that are there for you by simply walking with God in a wonderful way. Jim, how's Isaiah 12, 2 and 3? Give us some insight on this.
"Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation.
You know, it's amazing how many times he makes analogy to water, constantly going back to water. Maybe that would make more sense if you realize that many of the people he's writing to at the time this is being written, he's writing it for our benefit as well. But at the time, these people were people living in a desert region. So water, life-giving water, was extremely important. So this idea of having water out of the well of salvation, they could identify that with life and life more abundantly, something that they would otherwise feel dissatisfied about. So that is a wonderful thing. Jim, have you ever spent any time in a desert area, or at least in an area or a part of your life where you just felt like you didn't have access to the resources you needed?
I have, and it makes you realize just how blessed you are and how being prepared is so important, because there are times when you're out, you think, why didn't I pack that, or why didn't I bring some extra water? Because water seems to be the first thing that goes, isn't it, Pastor?
That's very true. And, you know, we live in a region where we have hurricanes and, you know, power goes off and the water is shut off for a while. And we have to wait not simply for the storm to end, but for a time that we never quite know how long it will be when that storm ends. And so, you know, even after the winds and the rains have stopped, you know, how long will it take to have the power restored, the water restored, normalcy, such as it be, restored? And so that's why you keep the water in reserve and you make preparation for the moment. And so you see, that's something, maybe whatever it is where you live that at certain times of the year can be put into short supply, think of how good it feels when it's restored. Think of how refreshing, something that seems so basic, but once it's restored and brought back, it feels great. And that's what God through Isaiah is telling the people. He said, look, he's going to give us wells of salvation, an abundance of the thing that seems to be turned off. He's going to bring it back to us and make life incredibly special. 2 Corinthians 9:8-9, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And if you're feeling dissatisfied, feeling like what you got is not as much as what somebody else has got given, understand, God has given you the ability to have all grace abounding. He has given you sufficiency. In other words, you're not lacking for anything, not really. You know, you're breathing, you're alive, you're a testimony that you have life-sustaining abilities. And as it is written, he may have sent you scattered abroad. That's okay. When you're scattered abroad, you have the ability to share the gospel. You know, when people migrate, they share the gospel. You know, you look at history. History is an amazing thing. You see these groups of people that, for whatever reason, leave their homeland, go to some other place, and they bring with them their God, their message. It's amazing. Isaiah 55:1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come, buy, eat, yea, come, without money, without price. God is your supplier. He is the one who blesses you. Jim, Matthew 5:6, you have that handy?
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, Pastor, that phrase reminds me of my brother. He knows there's no gray, it's black or white with him, and I think he is not malicious. He wants people to be considerate and do the right thing, and he's constantly disappointed and calls me and talks about it. And I think of him when I read this. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is my brother. That's all of us, really.
Wow. Yeah, and that's a good thing. We should hunger and thirst for righteousness. We should want to see things better. That's the positive side of dissatisfaction, that you long to see and make things better. But if you bog down and only see the negative and can't see the potential to make it better, well, then you're missing out. Dissatisfied with life is wrong. To be satisfied with what God can do in your life is an exciting thing. To move forward with a boldness that God can put into your life is powerful and exciting and a blessing. You know, it is just amazing how God takes the time that we have and uses it, I trust, to His glory, but I'm just amazed at how quickly it gets burned up and is gone. So I hope that what we've talked about from the scriptures regarding this word dissatisfied is a blessing to you, that it will give you an ability to draw back to God and realize I can be satisfied in Christ and learn what it means to have Him be the one who strengthens and refreshes and blesses you. That's pretty important. So again, we thank you for being with us, and in 2 weeks we're going to continue on and looking at some other feelings and what to do when they arrive. But next week, Jim, that's going to be a pretty special week. What happens next week as we're in our fifth year?
Well, we're going to have Charlie Fogarty and the Republic of Texas, a look at Texas Christian history.
That should be very good, very exciting. If you live in the Houston area, the man has a restaurant that is quite phenomenal. We'll try to get you some information about that. That's not a commercial or anything like that. He's not paying us. We're not paying them. But I have been there, and I can tell you it's a very exciting place to be. And he actually has a museum as part of the restaurant. So visiting that restaurant is a very unique experience, to say the least. Not just in the sense of food and fellowship and fun, but you get to learn a lot about Texas in the process. And what's going to be sort of unique with this is when he comes and shares, it's going to be the Christian history that's involved in Texas. A lot to find out. A lot of great people in our history. People who made sacrifice. People who stood strong. And so maybe you think you know about Texas, but join us next week. I think you'll be surprised, and you'll find some things that will be a blessing, exciting, and an encouragement. Jim, is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners before we begin to wrap up?
Well, just a quick comment. Romans on our website is the book of Romans. It tells us how to get saved. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So go to askthepastornow.com and you'll see this. If you're not a believer and you want to know how to be saved, that's how to do it.
Oh, that's wonderful, and we definitely encourage you to do so. If you've made a decision for Christ tonight, we'd encourage you to drop us a line, let us know. You can email us.
Absolutely.
By the way, on the website, there are other items there for you to review. You can also sign up to be on our newsletter and get some information. So we look forward to that. Again, thank you for being a part of our broadcast. Look forward to you joining us next week with our special guest as a look at Texas Christian history. Jim, thank you for so much and all that you do.
Thank you, Pastor, for teaching us. God bless you.
God bless you. Good night, all.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.
Do you believe in spirit beings? Do you think that that kind of thing is just for non-believers? Then what about angels? In Dr. Lyons' series, Angels, Real and Supernatural, you will find out about the role that angels play in our lives, how they are manifest, and about the Angels Organization. We believe you will find this a fascinating study on a subject that is rarely taught or discussed. This series is a starting point to understand the supernatural beings that are at work in the heavens and here on earth. Order your set at askthepastornow.com. That's askthepastornow.com. Order your set today.